Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, night call. It's 1:40 a.m. in New York, leaving you an actual night call. This is Emily. I'm one of the hosts of Night Call, and I'm just doing some night shopping online because, you know, it's fall and we got to get our fall fashion and everything and have all the latest looks and trends and stuff. And I just thought everybody should know that Night Call t-shirts are available now on cottonbureau.com. And they're really, really dope. They're limited edition, so they're rare and dope. And the front of them says Strange Days and Lonely Nights, which is a really good conversation starter, especially if you meet somebody else who loves Night Call. They're only available until September 5th, so get it now because they won't exist anymore after that. And yeah, you can find them at cottonbureau.com/products/strange-days-lonely-nights, or if that's too hard, you can just go to our Twitter at Night Call Pod, or on Facebook at Night Call Podcast, and find some more information there. But you should buy the shirts because they're really cool, and they're a great way to show everybody you love Night Call. All right, I'm going to go check out, going to go edit my shopping cart and buy some of these looks online. Thanks, Night Call. Thanks for doing the show. I love you. Bye.
Ooh. It's 9:29 in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Night Call. I'm Molly Lambert, and with me in Los Angeles is
Tess Lynch and our special guest,
Carvel Wallace.
And joining us in New York, as always,
Emily Yoshida.
Carvel, welcome to Night Call. Carvel is on a podcast called Closer Than They Appear on the Al Jazeera Podcast Network and works for the New York Times magazine as a writer.
Yeah. And I also do the Slate Parenting Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Mom and Dad Are Fighting.
It's a great podcast title.
It is.
It is. It just makes us, the problem is that we have to fight every episode. So that's the only thing.
Otherwise, no deal. Yeah, we have to live up.
It doesn't deliver if you don't. Emily, welcome back from New England.
Thanks. I was in New England. I want everybody to know that I went to New England and I came back and it was okay and there was nothing to be afraid of.
Had you never been there before?
Yeah, I had. So I went to the Cape, which I cannot say without making a funny face when I
We were talking about the Cape before we started recording. We were going to talk today about sharks.
Yes.
The end of summer seems like the time to talk about sharks.
Shark season.
And then we are going to take a question about a haunted piece of wood that...
No spoilers. What are you doing?
Sorry, spoiler. It's not spoilers that it's a haunted piece of wood. The spoiler is what they might do with it.
That's true. That's true.
And then we're going to talk about the Elon Musk Grimes Azealia Banks situation. So, guys, what are you feeling about sharks right now?
Have you guys seen The Meg?
No, we were talking about it. Tess was looking up the credits of the director and saw that he directed Three Ninjas.
Yeah, this guy's amazing.
He's amazing.
Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Emily, did you see The Meg?
I did. I had to see The Meg for work. I got paid by my employer to see The Meg.
I'd see The Meg.
Was
for
it
work.
Worth the money?
No, it's not. It's really bad. I think that this movie whenever the first trailer dropped for it, everybody was like, "Oh, cool, giant shark movie with Jason Statham in it." And then I think the second trailer dropped, and I think they had caught on to maybe whatever campy vibe people were assigning to this film, and so just decided to try to market it. As like a shark.
As if giant thing. Shark and Jason Statham weren't camp enough.
Yes.
To begin with,
sharks have become really camp because of Sharknado.
I was going to say, is it all passe after Sharknado? But they're like, we have a bigger shark. And I think the shark in the movie is supposed to be 75 feet long.
Well, I was going to say, the reason I thought this might be like a real shark movie is because it's based on the other novel by the guy who wrote Jaws.
Yeah.
That's about a megalodon shark that's like the sequel to Jaws, where it's like, oh, you thought Jaws was scary, check out a really ancient Jaws.
By the way, the title of the book is Meg, a novel of deep terror.
Yeah.
That feels like shade at somebody that the author knew whose name was Meg.
Meg, yeah, I know.
I like calling a megalodon shark Meg as like a nickname.
Well, they mostly refer to it as the Meg in the film. But the thing about the film is that contrary to its second round of marketing, it is a pretty straightforward shark movie with a heavy Chinese finance influence in it. And one of the cool things about that, one of the only cool things about that, similar to Pacific Rim 2 Uprising, which came out earlier this year, it's like this weird loophole that like gives you like Asian female actors in like key roles in dumb action movies.
That's sounds actually, you're making a great argument for The Meg.
Yeah,
again,
what didn't you like?
What don't you like about The Meg?
Well, no, it's just boring. Like there aren't that many good, I wanted more shark-centric centerpieces. There's like one really, really amazing one where like the female protagonist like gets lowered into the shark tank and then like all hell breaks loose. I don't even know how to describe. But
she gets lowered into the shark tank.
One of those shark tanks that like you're lowered into
the
water.
Cage.
Yeah. With like a hole so that she can shoot a poison dart at the Meg, and then it doesn't go as planned, and it ends up like the shark grabs the thing, and the whole boat tips over because it's attached to the cage, and it's just like this weird
Rube Goldberg.
You're really
machine.
Selling us, though.
I swear to God, though, I just spoiled the only good thing about it because it's really long and it doesn't deliver that much on shark hijinks.
But like neither does Jaws, and that's why. Yeah. But I guess Jaws is about like corrupt local infrastructure.
Yeah. Jaws is like a metaphor for something. It was also the first time. It was also like the first of its kind, right?
Right.
Like, at the time.
Yeah. I had never seen it until not that long ago.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I still haven't seen Jaws.
Oh my God.
What?
Emily.
I'm a film critic who's
so no spoilers.
That's so crazy.
No spoilers.
Please
no
don't
one
spoil
knows
Jaws.
About a shark.
Spoiler. Jaws is amazing. And I begrudgingly was like, I guess I see why this made Spielberg a huge director and also like ended the good 70s in movies that I enjoyed.
That's right. Yes.
You know, like mm-hmm. It's not Jaws' fault, much like in the movie. It's not Jaws' fault.
I saw Jaws when I was so little, and I just actually tried to sell my kids on watching Jaws because I was like,
"Why would you do that?"
I don't know.
Kids should not watch. No, kids should not watch Jaws.
Well, they
you know, it's good to have a healthy fear of the ocean. Yeah.
I mean, people in that generation had fears of oceans, pools, toilets, glasses of water. Like it permeated. In fact, there were so many ripoffs. Like when I was a kid, I remember seeing a TV movie that was a ripoff of that called Orca, and it was about a killer whale. That was it was like a made for TV movie. Yeah. It was like a whale with a vendetta. And I vividly remember being a kid and lying in bed and being terrified that a killer whale was going to just burst through the door.
This was pre-Free Willy. So yeah.
I didn't have the positive. It was all negative. It was all negative whale stereotypes.
But by the time I think we were kids, it was there was a lot of like a big push of like shark awareness orca awareness. Like they're not all predators who want to kill you. Like they're,
right.
Let's protect them.
But see, sharks aren't as smart as whales. So in a way, like a whale with a vendetta makes more sense than a sharks are just kind of like reptile brain. Like
exactly. Exactly. But that's what makes them so spooky. But whales could like dress up as like your mom. You know what I mean? Like they could like really work a whole grift and then kill you. So it's like way terrifying. Yeah.
The craziest thing about whales to me is that they were on land before.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They were like a creature on land.
No.
That's the opposite way
it worked.
No.
This is
sketchy
science
of
the highest order.
What are you talking about?
All I can talk about is evolution lately.
Were all mammals that are sea mammals once land mammals?
A lot of them. No, mostly no. Mostly it's the other way around. But okay, let's fact check this.
Yeah, we really need to get someone on this. But what you're suggesting, just to clarify your claim here, is that whales used to be land mammals that descended into the sea.
Yes.
As opposed to the other way around, which is what everything
else is. Tess, will you fact check this?
Yeah, I'll do it. Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk about going up.
Well, you can talk about, anything you want.
This week's podcast is brought to you by True Botanicals. Most skincare products on the shelf involve some sort of trade-off. Either they're loaded with harmful chemicals but they work, or they manage to have clean ingredients but then do absolutely nothing for your skin. True Botanicals believes you shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that's effective. You deserve both. With the help of leading researchers from top universities, True Botanicals bottles the highest quality natural ingredients, creating luxurious formulas that are as potent as they are pure. Third-party clinical trials verify their product's efficacy. Their Renew collection for aging skin outperformed Crème de la Mer. And their Clear collection for acne outperformed Proactive Plus, proof that non-toxic skincare can not only be as effective as conventional skincare, but it can be better. And True Botanicals is the first skincare company to have its entire line certified safe for people and the planet by the nonprofit Made Safe, America's first non-toxic seal.
Go to TrueBotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off orders of $40 or more off your first purchase with the code CALL, C-A-L-L.
One thing I've noticed about shark movies, because on our website, Charles Bermesco did a list of all the greatest shark movies, and I was looking just at the images of them, and I feel like half of the reason that shark movies became a thing or became a subgenre is just that sharks already look so fake. Like before you make a fake prosthetic shark. Like
right,
they're
so,
these expressionless puppets.
They're so prehistoric looking. Yeah. They are like you can kind of just like turn a hunk of plastic into a shark. Not that hard.
Guys, yeah. I've got an update.
Okay, Tess.
All right, so Breaking news. Is from the Berkeley website.
So it's real.
These first whales, such as Pachycetus, were typical land animals. They had long skulls and large carnivorous teeth. From the outside, they don't look much like whales at all. However, their skulls, particularly in the ear region, which is surrounded by a bony wall, strongly resemble those of living whales and are unlike those of any other mammal.
That's what I am talking about.
That's
okay.
Crazy.
I wasn't crazy.
That's incredibly creepy.
Well, it's also like we are lucky that whales don't have vendettas against humans.
Well, they're somewhat related to hippos, like if you go back far enough, but then at a certain point they diverge. And hippos are angry and not smart.
But like,
really, I thought hippos were chill and cute and
hippos are so scary.
They're cute and scary.
They're kind of like
and they're
really
hungry
fat crocodiles.
If I recall correctly.
Hungry.
Always in the mood for a snack.
Guys, what about a hungry hippos movie? That probably already.
I'm sure that's been greenlit. I'm sure that's in development.
They're making a Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock.
Well, when they made whenever they bought up all those games, like when they bought up the Battleship.
The Monopoly movie.
The Battleship movie could be incredible. I would write the Monopoly movie tomorrow.
That would be dope. I want to see the Operation movie with The Rock.
Oh yes. Yeah, I'd watch The Rock in all of those, like Connect Four with The Rock.
Can we boggle The Rock?
I don't like to cancel people though, but I am over The Rock. I'll put in that language. I'm over The Rock in
general.
He's
had enough.
Yeah, I'm done with his like weird fake, not quite campaign posturing, and he's like a total Republican, and I don't know, and he like used like weird homophobic insults against Vin Diesel when they were fighting, and I don't know.
Oh right, him and Vin Diesel was an interesting behind the scenes drama.
They are still fighting, like they hate
what's
each other.
The Cliff's Notes of that for
they
our
hate
listeners.
Each other.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's just like two huge egos in one room, I think, and I think I think he's more of an introvert at heart, and I think The Rock is more just like a grandstander, and I think that...
Well, he's a wrestler. Come on.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, it makes sense, but I think I think that those two big personalities on a single franchise, it was a tough mix. So.
Well, everyone's just one giant shark movie away from being back in America's heart.
But speaking of Vin Diesel, one of the things that if you haven't seen Vin Diesel's breakdance videos.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone should.
They're really good.
I just want to make sure that everyone knows about that.
Vin Diesel has like a secret like 80s like art career.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, he was like a lower. He was like, a, he's lower like a lower Manhattan. Yeah. Like, breakdance meets
he's
art.
So lower
like,
East Side.
I'm team Vin in all of it.
He was a bouncer.
I mean, that's not surprising that
he made this like art film about how he could play any race that was like about like.
Yeah, he was like exploring the mechanisms of racial ambiguity in Hollywood.
Like, it was like an 80s art film.
It was weird. I mean,
it was
weird.
Totally like some video art.
But he was doing his thing.
But I also, I don't know. The Rock is just, he loves his mom. I don't know. I can't. I agree with you.
I guarantee you Vin Diesel loves his mom too.
Yeah, who would have thought that the millionaire bodybuilder who preaches self-help all the time would turn out to be Republican? What are the odds?
I know. Yeah.
I was just still stuck on that he was like a Horatio Alger story of like a wrestler who became like an actor, a famous actor.
I don't know that that's the Horatio Alger story.
No, but to me, I was like,
sure that's, I need
I
to recheck
like,
my notes.
This is an improvement on like Schwarzenegger, you know, who was
he's
like,
probably an improvement on Schwarzenegger, but he's still in the Schwarzenegger camp.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a variation
he's
on that.
He's the Schwarzenegger. And then Vin Diesel's more of like a Stallone. He's got the heart of gold.
I think that is a fair comparison.
Yeah, that works.
What do you guys think are going to be the next big like scary sea animal or just land animal that people are terrified of? Land whales, now that everybody knows about land whales.
I mean, I would love to go back to the prehistoric. If we're going back to megalodons, like let's go back to the land whales.
You know what's scary? Well, this goes back to the Cape. I spent some time on a farm in the Cape. Those who follow my Instagram stories might have seen that I saw some baby
goats.
Oh,
so great.
The
it
baby
was
goats are not what was scary. What was scary was
turkeys.
Yes.
Turkeys are so scary.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping you would say, because that's basically what I was going to say.
Yeah, they are dinosaurs.
La Brea Tar Pits. Yes, I went to the La Brea Tar Pits, which I just hadn't been in a while, and a lot of that stuff that they have is like giant sloths and stuff, where you're like, man, these things are all so cool. And then I've been watching that David Attenborough show that's all like, the ones that are left just got really small.
Right.
Yeah. So there's all these things that used to be big and are small. And basically they're just like, and birds are just like small dinosaurs that became small. And I just like couldn't stop talking about it. I was like, look, the birds are dinosaurs. The dinosaurs to survive just became small.
Yeah.
And they're all around us.
There is an inherent horror to turkeys. And in fact, there's an episode of Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
That explores the horror of like masses of turkeys.
Like when you posted that thing, because you posted like 100 of them in a pen. And it was like, it was sort of like, and like I had an experience with a turkey vulture earlier this summer.
Really?
Where I was on a beach, like my boyfriend and I like walked down to a sort of like remote beach on the central coast, and there were these turkey vultures flying overhead. Whoa. That like we tried to get closer to them and they like wouldn't, they were like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
They were, I think, maybe defending a nest or something.
They're vocal.
They're vocal, but it's like, I also didn't know that they wouldn't attack a human, but it, you know, they were like circling over us and I was like, they could just fuck us up so much if they wanted to.
Have you guys seen turkeys, like regular turkeys, not turkey vultures, fly before?
Oh my God.
No.
Yeah.
It's
they
so
live, they're
crazy.
Wild. In a lot of parts of New England, they're wild. So where my parents live, there are wild turkeys everywhere. They're huge.
What?
They're gigantic. And one time our dog brought, she was a retriever, and she brought us a turkey egg. Ugh. And once the dog touches the nest, the you know, grown-up turkeys won't take care of them. So we found all the eggs. We put them in an incubator, and we incubated them forever. It was like weeks and weeks of incubating them, and then we had a power outage.
Oh,
and we'd been
no.
looking through them with flashlights, and we could see them growing.
No.
And during the power outage, they all died, but we didn't know whether to throw them away. So we like kept them for a bit to be like, maybe they'll hatch. And then it was just disgusting. And,
oh my God.
Yeah. But on the plus side.
What a roller coaster.
On the plus side.
There's no plus side.
The plus side is they're mean birds.
No.
And then if you raise them, who knows what'll happen.
The plus side is that you're going to be so useful on the commune. On the call commune.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The
Happy
commune.
I know what to do.
But this is this maybe skews old, but there is a WKRP episode based on turkeys flying. And the plot of it is that they're trying to organize this big like Thanksgiving promotion, but they won't tell what it is. Like the station director won't say what it is. He just can't wait to do it. And then he like dispatches the reporter live to the scene. And it turns out the promotion is that they're going to throw a bunch of turkeys from a helicopter over a mall and create this like beautiful wave of like a flock of turkeys just flying and creating this gorgeous thing. But of course they start falling and dropping on everyone.
Oh my God. It's like,
that's amazing.
Magnolia.
I think the next sea creature horror should have to be octopus. Octopi.
Wow, yeah.
Right?
But
because
they're so cute and
the
smart.
Smartest.
Yeah, but
and they
they're aliens.
Sense of humor.
But
no,
they're
they are.
Yeah, we just learned that you've read this, right? This is the new scientific study.
For
they're
real?
Yes. I love the look.
Wait, they come from another planet?
They come from another planet. Now, scientists now believe that it's very possible that
aliens come from
another planet.
I read the article that was like debunking that article. And
I don't
it was
care.
Like,
I only
no,
want
no,
the one.
No, that article, the debunking article was like, but it's like, no, in some way it is true. Like they were like, it's not like they like were flown here, but it was like, we don't know what their DNA comes from. It's
one of the few animals I won't eat is the octopus.
Well, they're very
really?
Smart.
Yes.
I went to a tropical fish store the other day in the valley. I went to Tony's Tropical Fish. No, it's Mark's Tropical Fish. Mark's Tropical Fish. It's the best tropical fish store. It's been there forever. And then somebody told me it's owned by the guy from the Strawberry Alarm Clock, which just made it even better.
Mark.
Wow.
Yeah, Mark from the Strawberry Alarm Clock, who are in my favorite movie, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. But it's also just been there forever, and I love going in tropical fish stores because they're so relaxing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like watched this stingray. They had like a baby stingray in one tank.
Oh.
And I posted some video of it, but it was like so cute, and it looked like it was trying to escape. It was just like swimming to the top over and over again.
Ugh.
And I asked the guy, I was like, is it trying to get out? Like, does it know? And he was like, no, they just like to do that.
Sure.
Yeah, easy for
Mark.
You to say.
Sure.
Just a strawberry alarm clock.
Incense and peppermints.
What is the closest encounter any of you guys have had with like a sea monster, by which I would include like octopi or a shark or giant squids.
I will say that the last time I was in Florida, I was in like Pensacola, and there were like, you know, it's like a different type of ocean than the ocean here.
Mm-hmm.
It is a different ocean.
And last time I went, I was like, this is so nice. It's like warm and different and
beautiful. And then this time I like noticed there were jellyfish everywhere.
Mm.
And I couldn't unnotice it. And it made me sort of like a little too scared to be in the ocean because they were like a non-poisonous kind of jellyfish. But even just the idea of like a lot of them touching my body made me be like, I have to get out of the ocean right now.
They're like little nanobots.
Yeah. And then I went and looked and there's like a lot of like moon jellies. I went to like a pier like at night and watched some jellyfish just swim around. And I think jellyfish are super scary and awesome.
I love jellyfish.
Yeah. They have like 16 eyes or something. No one can ever doubt anything I say again because I was right about the whale.
No. At this point, you have a carte blanche to just make up stories.
Carvel, have you ever had any personal experience with a sea monster?
A couple. I mean, so when I was a kid, I lived in Maryland and we would swim, or this summer camp we'd swim in the Chesapeake, and jellyfish were like common. You'd get stung. Everyone would get stung all day long.
Yeah. Whoa.
That was like one of the things that would happen. It's just you'd get stung by a jellyfish. They were, I mean, you would hold them and like you could pick them up. They were weird. I mean, jellyfish are very strange. And
They have no face.
They have no face, and you can sort of pick them up and they're just kind of like, it's like a blob that sort of, you know. And but you'd be swimming and then you'd hear a kid be like, ow! And you know it was a jellyfish. Oh my so God. There's that. But then when I was in, at one point I went to Hawaii and we swam with sea turtles, which aren't really...
They're so cool though.
Somebody could do like an evil sea turtle movie, but like they have a pretty good reputation.
How could you do that?
Maybe I'm just projecting, but like all the Australian sea creatures, I'm always like, they seem so chill.
The lionfish, isn't it the lionfish that's like the most venomous fish or something?
Yeah, but all those Great Barrier Reef ones, I'm like, they're so colorful and beautiful.
Yeah.
Even if they like would murder you, you're like, that's cute.
When am I going to get to Australia? I don't know. I was snorkeling in the Caribbean and we encountered a giant ray. And it was one of the freakiest things that's ever happened to me. It felt like encountering an alien in the wild.
Because
suddenly, like, it kind of makes itself clear in the water, and it was just sort of like sleeping at the bottom of the like on the sand, and then I think it noticed us and kind of like twitched awake, and I had this fear of God in me. I just immediately turned around and just like booked it back to the shore. But apparently it lived there. Like, we were asking the people, like the local people there, and they're like, oh yeah, you met the ray. Like, that guy just like chills out there all the time. That's
his
spot.
It's just like a sentient rug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just,
but
like,
it's
gets
crazy looking.
Sometimes.
Like,
until
it was bigger than
you
me.
And kills you.
Yeah. Oh, right. Didn't that kill?
Yeah. Until it ends your career.
Kills Steve Irwin.
Until it kills a person whose whole life is about dealing with animals.
All right.
It's but like,
it's like
Grizzly
a rug
Man.
With an issue.
You know, you have to kind of accept the risk.
It's got
right?
that smiley face on its other side that makes it look like a real cutie.
You really turn that smile upside down.
Tess, what's your most up close encounter?
I haven't ever gotten that close to like a whale, and I never got to swim with like the fun like seals or whatever one does. But I did raise lobsters in this weird kind of like plastic condominium via this like mail order thing where you could your deal was that you'd raise these lobsters from like teeny tinies up until they were a certain size, and then you'd send them back and they could be farmed.
Why?
I don't know.
But like raising animals in captivity that aren't supposed to be in captivity, that's kind of your thing.
That's
sort of your shtick.
She likes to incubate.
All of this was during 3 years I lived in a really rural area of Connecticut, and I didn't have like anything.
Yeah,
much
you like that rural biology.
Yeah, so I was just like science lab. Room.
Yeah, you're like, what's
like
in the backyard?
4-H, but for like the East Coast.
I did pony club too. I was all animals were my friends.
Yeah.
But the lobsters, it was just terrible. I mean, like, they just died, and then the tank was really, it was like a huge setup where they each had these like little plastic cells, and it was like a grid of like 24 of them.
Ugh.
And there was a filtration system that had to be cleaned by not me.
It was a prison. You basically
it was a prison.
It was mass incarceration of
it
lobsters
was a lobster.
Is what you were
it was
involved
a panopticon
in. You were
for
basically
lobsters.
A private private contractor.
Wow, I can't
for
believe this
prison.
Isn't a thing. Anymore. I can't believe this never got off.
It may still be. It may still
be. It is a thing. Every time you see a lobster tank at a restaurant.
It's true.
Yeah.
But this was, they had much less room. But they were babies, so they didn't need a ton.
That is how they incubate things, though, when you see it like an aquarium. not to defend you.
No, it was bad. I was like 10, but still, I live with it.
Did you ever try to do like a little shark egg or anything?
I don't know how you get like a shark egg. Well, the deal is that I think that you could raise these lobsters in, I think it was brackish water, which is kind of like split the difference between fresh and salt. But a shark egg, you would assume, unless it was some kind of like
you need pure fresh ocean water.
You need, yeah. And then that's like a whole expensive
thing. See, you're
thing.
Thinking about this like realistically, which I
well, respect. I've thought about bringing, okay, so there's a new seahorse that they discovered in Japan.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. No, it's really exciting.
Okay, seahorse news brief.
Seahorse news brief.
From our seahorse desk.
Seahorse news you can use.
This seahorse, full grown, is smaller than a grain of rice, and it lives in Japan.
What?
Yeah, and it's part of a whole, there's like a whole group of these tiny little seahorses, and they are not allowed to be kept as pets because there's a size limit. You can't bring a seahorse on a plane unless it's a certain size, and all of these are smaller, so they can't be pets.
I looked too up small. A picture of it. I googled
and they're beautiful.
New Japanese seahorse. They're so pretty and weird looking. Oh my God.
See, that's what's so cool about the ocean is like there's stuff we don't know.
The ocean is the best. But some people are really freaked out by that mere fact of it.
We've had the question ocean versus space, and it seems obvious that space is scarier. We all unanimously agree.
Space is
agree.
Scarier because there's less creatures,
well,
but the ocean is scary
you
because you don't know what's in there, and that's
you're
also
gonna die
cool.
Anyway.
Today's episode is brought to you by Tomboy X, a company that makes the most comfortable underwear, bras, and more for everybody, no matter your size or where you fit on the gender spectrum. Their loungewear is super soft, their undies stay put, their bras don't squish you, and their swim and activewear line is amazing. One of the things we love about Tomboy X at Nightcall is that they support living wage factories and they're committed to using eco-friendly fabrics and sustainable production. It's simple, cute, comfortable underwear with a good agenda behind it, and we love it, especially the boxer briefs and boy shorts. For a special offer for our listeners, go to tomboyx.com/call and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. Nightcall listeners get an extra 15% off with code CALL, that's C-A-L-L. Again, that's code CALL, C-A-L-L, for an extra 15% off. Ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/call.
I have to admit, so I have to come clean about something that I did years ago that I now realize is terrible and I need to like admit to it, which is that I actually ate seahorse at some point. Yeah.
That's
so
okay.
We were on this trip and we were taking this like trip in Southeast Asia and we were on this like tour and it was like go here and go to this fishing village and do this and do that. And so it was like this back alley tour and the guy was like, yeah, you like go. And then we're going to go see this old lady who has all these remedies. So we go to the old lady's house and she insists that seahorse is really good for everything that ails you. And she's got like,
you know, you're being polite.
She's got dried seahorses there. And we're like, should we be eating these? And she's like insisting that it's good for everything. It's virility and the memory and like hair loss, just whatever you name, seahorses are going to be your thing. And so it did feel weird not to, but we were like in this small group of like.
How
like,
big was the seahorse?
It was like two Americans, two Canadians, a German, a French person who wouldn't stop smoking. Like it was like that weird international contingent of travelers. And everyone, we had to decide individually, are we going to like do the seahorse thing or not? And so I did. It was about, I'm going to say,
ooh,
whatever
this
is, like 4 inches or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's a big seahorse to eat all
yeah.
of.
I didn't eat all of. I
you
took
know,
a bite and
just,
shared. It was actually the grossest thing.
What did it taste? Was it just like briny and crunchy?
It was briny and crunchy, but not even in a good way. Like it wasn't like,
it's not
it
like
wasn't
like
we
little
did a dried shrimp
bit,
or
yeah.
something. Yeah, it wasn't even that. It just was like, I mean, it tasted like I was eating a seahorse. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the thought of it was so disconcerting that all I could taste was the emotions.
But, you know, you were being polite. I feel like that's a total. You weren't like seeking it out like, I'm going to eat something.
Yeah, was,
you know, I have a friend who's a vegetarian who once ate a jellyfish because they were in like a situation where they felt like it would be impolite not to.
Jellyfish don't have brains.
That's kind of what they were saying. Yeah. It's how they.
But that must have been so gross.
But also, yeah. Tess has sort of talked about, we've talked about the horse meatballs from IKEA on this podcast before.
Mm-hmm. Wait, say what now? Hold up, what? I'm sorry. Could you quick rewind here?
Do you eat IKEA meatballs? I do.
Not anymore.
Okay. No, you're safe now. This is retroactively.
Okay.
You may have eaten some horse.
What?
I know.
Why? When?
There was like a thing where they tested the meatballs to see. They were, I think routinely every so often they'll test foods to see are the ingredients
correct. Make sure there's not horse meat.
Is this
in
human
it?
Or horse?
Yeah, and it was horse. Better
when?
Than human.
When was this?
This was like maybe 3 years ago, I'm guessing.
Shit.
Yeah, it was within the past 8 years.
No, you put enough lingonberry sauce on there.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm not sure if it was the meatballs in the U.S., but it was for sure the European IKEA.
Well, they probably care less over there. Like, oh, yes, I eat Zoho.
I don't know. People love their horses.
European slander over here. A lot of French slander
they
going
do.
On.
I don't know. French people love to eat horse. Yeah. Well, they eat snails, is what you were going off of. You know, all kinds of things are traditional in other places. I feel like that's the thing too, is like I've never eaten a sea cucumber, but lots of people do. And I was reading something about how it was like the superfood of the future because there's like too many of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true that the line between what is edible and is not edible in each culture is, if we're being 1,000% honest, rather arbitrary.
So arbitrary.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. If you eat one animal, like, you might as well eat them all.
Well, the fact is that we all need to be eating insects, but I know that I, for one, will never.
But
if that's what's going to happen. My friends are actually, so I got this, I used to run this, it's a long story, but I got this fellowship, and one of the people in my fellowship class are these two women that started the company that's all about insects called Chirps, and they are the cricket flower people.
Oh.
So I know those girls. So when we were in like events together, they would always be trying to make us eat like cricket chips and so forth. And, I mean,
that's fine.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Like, it's
the
what's
hard
happen.
Thing is that crickets are, I'm superstitious, and crickets are good luck. And so it's once I killed a cricket in my bathtub by mistake. I was trying to get him with a jar to bring him outside and chopped off his head by accident. And both my kids were watching and they were like, what have you done? He's still moving. It was just a nightmare. And I swear I felt that bad luck.
Well, then maybe like double your luck if you eat them.
I don't think it works that way. I don't think so. We could rewrite it. So maybe.
Hey guys, should we take a night call?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Hey, night call. This is going to sound really weird, but I have a private wood shop. Mostly as a hobby. I do some side work. I've been doing it for years. This friend of mine this weekend introduced me to a friend of hers who had a job they wanted done. And I should preface that by saying that over in a suburb of the city near where we live, back in, I think it was 2014, there was this horrible crime. It was like a murder scene, literally, where a person was killed and some other people were injured. And it was really bloody. And they've had no ability to, like, sell or rent the property since then. And people go in there and sneak in there sometimes, mostly kids and stuff. Anyway, this young woman, she has a piece of wood which she claims, and I have no way to prove this, that she and a couple of her friends pried this piece of wood out from where all the bad things happened. And again, I don't know if it's true. It's a nice, big, heavy piece of wood that has some weird discoloration on it. Anyway, they wanted to know if I would make them a Ouija board and a planchette out of it. I'm not saying I believe in all that stuff, but I'm also in no way saying I don't believe in it to the point where I think about it. And I know that some people who play with spirit boards and things, and they have like pictures of the kind they want. It's just like this Eastern European, really old Gothic style one. I know people who use it. You always hear stories like they get, like, maybe entities attached to them or something like that, and it never ends well. But what about the person who's, like, the carpenter who just makes it? I mean, if they're not using it, they're not playing with it, they're not trying to talk to anybody or communicate with anything. I guess my question is, if you were in my position, would you just say, stop overthinking this and go ahead and take the job? Because I could definitely use the cash. And it does sound like kind of a cool project. Or would you be thinking, why on earth?
This is like a, is it okay to work to build the Death Star?
Yeah. Yeah,
this is will exactly I get blown up?
Yeah. This is my favorite question we've
this
ever
is
gotten.
So good.
Yeah. Amazing.
I want to start by saying I love that his question isn't, should I unleash the forces of darkness on our realm, but will I personally be in trouble?
That
if
would
I do
be
that?
My question.
It's not like, I mean, should I do it? It's like, I mean, I would do it, but like,
what do I say to
somehow,
lose?
Yeah, well, are they going to come at me?
Like, is it okay to build the Death Star? If you're just a contract worker?
I mean, yeah. If you're just trying to feed your family?
Yeah.
Just trying to send your kids to college?
I'm going
to
play devil's advocate, no pun intended.
Many puns intended. Yeah. Stop lying.
Well, what if the spirits have something to... first of all, has the case been solved, right? So if it hasn't been solved, could this be a way to crack the case? In which case... you might be doing something good by making
oh,
wow. the Ouija board.
This helped crack the case with the Ouija board.
We could.
Wow.
A classic, well-regarded way of solving murders.
Absolutely. They have mediums for this.
Yes.
It's not just any Ouija board. It's a sacred planchette.
I think maybe it's not okay to build the Death Star.
Really?
I just decided. I mean, if you know what the project is.
If you know, it's about if you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't think they told every, like, every,
that's what I'm thinking.
You know, every, like, person on the Death Star, like, so we're building a Death Star.
Well, there's that, you guys Devil in the White Castle?
No.
It's about America's first serial killer. He, like, made a murder mansion.
Are you talking about Devil in the White City?
Yes, sorry. What did I call it?
Devil in the White Castle.
Ooh, White
Castle. It wasn't
castle.
A castle. Man, White Castle.
Man, I've seen the Devil in the White Castle. Trust me on this.
Aren't there holes in the middle of the burgers? Somebody told me.
What? Not the ones you get at the supermarket and
no.
microwave.
Okay.
Not that.
Somebody told me there's like
know.
A hole stamped out in
for the devil, yeah.
Leave room for the devil.
This is a side thing, so someday we should do a reappreciation of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle because I
oh,
watched
what a
it
great
so
movie.
Recently,
absolutely.
And it is a perfect
so good.
Movie.
It is.
Wait,
it is. Thank
we
you
just
for
had
that.
2008 week. What year was that?
That was like 2004, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They were going to Guantanamo Bay in 2008.
Right, right.
Yes, that's right.
So Devil in the White.
Oh, it was a guy who built a murder mansion in Chicago during the Chicago World's Fair and then murdered tourists, basically, who came to check. They checked in, but they didn't check out.
Uh-huh.
But the way he was able to build it, because it had all these terrifying trap doors and stuff to murder basement, it was that he hired like a million different contractors to do it and didn't tell any of them what they were doing.
Yeah.
And didn't tell them about each other. So they like built a house that made no sense, basically.
Without knowing what they were doing,
yeah.
But each doing a tiny part.
Yeah.
I see.
What do you guys think about...
How much? I need to know how much. He didn't say, and it's bothering me so much. Not retirement money means that he's not being offered... What
I'm
would
sure
retirement
like a,
money
I'm,
even
I bet
be?
It's like $1,000.
Well, so they're kids, I thought. They're kids. So how are
no,
they?
No, I don't think they're
kids. I don't
kids.
Think they're kids. I think they're
no?
like young
it's
adults.
It's not Stand By
probably.
Me. It's not the Goonies.
I was kind of thinking it was like 19-year-olds. I'm sorry. Those are not kids, but they're not
We're talking
not
about
kids.
Adult.
How old? I need
adult
all the specifics.
Adult murder house
I don't think
yours.
Any of that. I don't
okay.
think any of that is true. I don't. I mean,
I honestly don't see the problem with doing it.
Wow.
I don't because... I mean, the murder has
wow.
not, has, it's like, not like there, it's an open case still, is it? Like, he
well, that's what I'm wondering.
Probably not.
Let me just take this monkey paw. Nothing bad will happen
well, I don't
to
think
me.
That, I don't think that anything bad will happen to him. I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't think the theft of the wood is like something that's going to fuck anybody up though. Like they're probably going to just end up tearing down the house anyway. And something's going to be built there on that spot regardless. Like either somebody will move into the cursed house or they'll tear down the cursed house and somebody will live on the cursed land. It's like there's no way to really what? it's like you can't get rid of styrofoam or something. It's like you
right,
can't get
right.
rid of
it. And as Carvel pointed out, all land is cursed in America.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm. Yeah.
All houses are made of haunted wood.
Yes. So I don't see in the spiritual scheme of things, I don't see why this would be any worse than...
What if your objection is it's tasteless?
It's not. It's actually cool as shit.
It's kind of tasteless. Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
like the aesthetics of this.
Come
I'm
on,
all in on the
come
aesthetics.
On. Okay, but like when like Remember there was like a time period when Trent Reznor had like the house, the door from the CeeLo Drive house, the Manson murder house?
He did?
Yes.
What was he doing? It was a door in his house that he was using.
He purchased it and put it in his studio, and it had like it had pig and stuff written on it in blood. And then he later like renounced having done it as like.
You know what's interesting about that is that it. I was like, that thing I said about it being cool as shit was based on, this is my whole actually thing with true crime stuff anyway. It's like that joke was based on the idea that it was just this murder. But then as soon as you mentioned the CeeLo house and like a name and face was on it, then I was like, oh my word, that's so tasteless. Like,
right?
That's so there's this, this incredible.
Like, but also I think in that case, that's like using it purely as decoration or some kind of trophy from a scene of an atrocity or like a horrible murder.
How's that different than this though?
Well, I don't feel like it's a, like they're not going to hang it up in their house or something. Like,
right, but also like what was the murder? That I think also matters.
We need all the details.
We need the details.
Why does that matter though? Like what murder like, would make this okay?
Yeah.
Like somebody like killing their abusive husband.
Okay, yeah.
Then it's an empowering murder. It's still, a women's empowerment murder.
It's a little bit more ambivalent.
That is
it's
fair.
A little bit, you know, yeah, if it's fair. Like, if.
But he said it was like, I mean, I think he would have said, he knows about the crime, the caller. And so he said it was like horrible and like he would
he
have been
it
like,
horrible
it was a pretty
and
good
bloody
murder.
And like something
was
real bad
murder.
Happened.
Like this is the murder that you root for if you're
right.
going to root for a
I'm
murder.
I'm just saying like, what if like kids were like murdered? Like it's yeah. just. It's,
well, but listen though, is what's his culpability though if he's a woodworker? Like first of all, say that the whole house is going to be torn down and the wood is going to be destroyed. Is that necessarily better? Like, if you're destroying the house that bears witness to whatever horrible event happened, like, are you then at risk for also getting evil spirits on you?
I think so.
And
I
that's
just...
really what his concern is. He's in a CYA situation.
Yeah.
He's really just like, are the spirits going to bother me?
I just feel like if anything bad, if I were him and I did it, I like made peace with whatever and was like, I'm just going to do it because it'll be an amazing, beautiful Ouija board.
Yeah.
And they'll make, you know, I'll make some money. Like if anything bad ever happened to me ever again, I'd be like, oh, it's because I made that Ouija board.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like if you got sick, you'd be like, it's because I made the Ouija board.
I have a great yeah. idea.
Get
Can
a parking
I say?
Ticket.
What if he takes it to a like spiritual, you know,
oh, what if
a,
you
like,
cleanse
voodoo?
It?
What if
but
you
that's
cleanse
what, not
it?
What they want. They want
and
the
he
bad
He doesn't have
vibes.
To tell them.
No, that's
and
why
then
would
he's
he do
done,
that?
Because then he's released the spirit to the next realm.
Right, if we take it
and
to...
And saved the world from the spirit
I feel like the
being entrenched.
Issue, and the more that we talk about this issue is less like our spirit's going to come and have their revenge on the woodworker and more like, is the woodworker going to feel ashamed of himself for the rest of his life?
No, he specifically said he doesn't want a spirit like clinging to him.
Yeah, I feel
yeah
like
but I think by that he doesn't want
thing.
Shame.
I feel like you're having a hard time with the spirits thing because you're in New York, whereas we're having an easy time with the spirits thing
because
we're all in California.
We're on Melrose.
Where all that kind of shit happens all the time.
guys, I love Melrose.
I mean, if I have to make a final, if we have to make a final call,
yeah.
I would probably say it's okay to make this, assuming that the premise of the question, at least as I understood it, is like, are spirits going to come after me if I make this? And which I think is a little bit of a selfish telling. It should be like, am I going to unleash darkness into the world? And I think that that the point you bring up is right, that like maybe this is good. Maybe this is assuming that spirits are there. Maybe this is a good thing.
Let him talk.
I think the guy should go ahead and make the Ouija board.
Oh, my God. I can't
and just
believe.
Pray a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, maybe you're making a portal for some important
no,
stuff to come
for
through.
For bad energy, clearly it's from
How
a
do
murder
you know?
Site. It's
How
not,
do you know?
Maybe this is the only way that the victims will be able to
That's
speak.
What I'm saying. This is allows the victims to come through.
But that's not why they want it. They just want a spooky
How
trophy
do we know?
From a bad
You've
place.
Never seen Poltergeist. I mean, Ruth oh, Gordon going
you.
In, come into the
thank
light, you.
You
know. Yeah,
this is a real Poltergeist moment.
It is. It
please
was the best.
Keep us updated.
Yes,
please let
please,
us know.
Please
if you
but
do.
Let
us know
don't what tell anyone
don't.
Where we are.
Yeah, yeah, no. Please. Just,
I'm just saying. Yeah. This
oh,
is
no.
like, yeah, now you guys are all implicated.
all
you guys are, you all said the spirits could come follow you, and I said no.
I have
so
a
just
shaker
remember,
of salt in my purse. I'm not
just
worried at all.
Remember that I said no.
If you're a spirit, follow us on Twitter.
And, oh, yeah. And also, the line is always open for spirits. If you'd like to give us your night call, please give us a call at 240-46-NIGHT or you can email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
We also have an announcement to make. We're going to be having a live show in Los Angeles for those of our Night Call listeners that are listening from LA.
No ghosts, though. No ghosts.
Please, no ghosts. But on September 5th, at one of the most controversial pronunciations in Los Angeles, but I'm going to go with Tay.
they called it Takes when I called.
Takes.
So. Hot Takes.
Hot Takes.
I've heard Thai.
Thai. Oh, my God. There are articles about how to pronounce it. It's T-A-I-X. It's the French restaurant in Echo Park. You know it. You love it. On September 5th at 8 p.m., we're going to have a little live show there.
Have a little live show.
Banquet.
Slash dinner banquet. We'll be announcing more details on all our socials. And and then there will also be an after party.
And some merch.
And some merch.
And DJ sets. It'll be a big Night Call, Night People meetup. And we would love to see you there.
Yeah.
If you can make it.
Shadow people are allowed also.
Can we please talk about the Devil's Three-Way just for like 5 minutes?
Just as a palate cleanser.
Yeah, we just have to.
All right. Tess, you've got feelings.
Well, okay. This may be old news when you're listening to this podcast, but over the past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of stuff happening with Elon Musk. It started off on August 7th when he tweeted that he was taking the company private and that they'd secured funding. That turned out to not be entirely true. And then Azalea Banks entered the picture and took to her Instagram stories with a really crazy tale that I did not know whether to believe, and now I feel bad because it's maybe more true than I thought. But basically, I mean, Molly, do you want to weigh in with what happened? It's a complicated story.
Well,
it's like,
she was posting on Instagram stories that she was at Elon Musk's giant mansion complex, which is 5 mansions in Bel Air.
Musktopia.
5 mansions connected together.
She was there because Grimes and she were supposed to be collaborating on something they announced in June. And Grimes was like, come out to Elon's mansion and we'll record something on this weekend. But then I guess she was like, oops, Elon and I are going out of town.
Yes. Grimes like stood her up, but was like, just stay
just
at the mansion.
Yeah.
It seemed like just hang out, which I think like from other Azalea Banks stories, this happens to Azalea Banks a lot, is that she gets asked to do a feature on something because she had another story about how she was supposed to record with Rihanna and Rihanna like kept her waiting all day and was like eating food in front of her, but didn't offer her any.
Ugh.
And she was mad about it.
In everyone's defense, I think this is actually a pretty common thing among like the super wealthy
so
and rich.
Too.
I think not everyone like goes and talks about it publicly.
No, I think all the things she was saying were true. She has a lot of stories where you're like, this seems like it's so specific, like the Russell Crowe story, where,
which
you
was
know what
which
I mean?
Ended up being
which
more
has
true
been
than
validated,
not. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Which was like, of course, confirmed. Like people are like,
but nobody wants to defend Azalea Banks really
because she also has said some really horrible stuff.
And by all accounts, she gets like either drunk or just upset.
This was the thing, was she told this whole story on Instagram stories, but there was like no pictures that proved it.
She was just like taking pictures of the crown, which was the most evocative thing she could have done. She was taking pictures of like her iPhone charger in the wall. It was like,
yeah.
It was a very
was
like
smart.
help, I can't look like I'm using my phone right now type.
She compared it to Get Out because she felt trapped inside.
I said it was like Ex Machina.
Yes.
Because it is. You know,
and
also
a good reason to say that.
Something about a house that big is like so scary. Like nobody needs a house that big.
Well,
you know?
I guess they offered that she could stay in like the guest house, but she was kind of roaming around a bit, and she was saying that Elon was tweeting and, you know, while he was on acid,
tweeting and
he
tweaking.
Was on acid all the time, tweeting and tweaking.
Yeah, she said that there.
The
she
night.
Basically was just like, Elon Musk and Grimes are like doing so much acid that they like, you know, are losing their shit, and they're just like doing all this acid together in this Bel Air mansion.
Yeah, all this stuff she's saying on IG stories, but she also breaks the story that he doesn't have funding.
Yeah.
Like
she said that.
She said that on her IG. She was like, he didn't, I heard him on the phone. He doesn't have funding for
she was
that.
Like,
oh, yeah,
he tweeted
she said he was
on
freaking
acid.
Out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like scrambling. Yeah.
She was like, he's too dumb to know not to tweet on acid.
Yeah. And then after a while, after enough time being there, she starts to suspect that she was just brought there for some kind of weird threesome that they ended
which
up
which she
like,
was.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that that's not true. I'm just saying that she starts to catch on that that was probably
she caught on that that was probably what was happening. She posted what were supposedly texts from Grimes that seemed everybody was like, does Grimes really text like that? And people were posting her tweets being like, I mean, this is how she tweets. So like, it doesn't seem that weird, especially if everybody's on a lot of acid all the time.
The part of this story that's so weird that I can't even really like verify that I'm not making it up, but I don't think I am, is that they were all eating Dippin' Dots.
No, that part to right? me verified it, because I was it's like, so it's weird. The ice cream of the future. Grimes would totally be like, let's get some Dippin' Dots. Cause
it's space. The ice cream of the 90s.
It's right. the ice cream of the future from 1997.
Exactly.
Right, but that's like, they'd both be like, we love the future.
The idea of doing acid and then being like, great, now it's time for Twitter and Dippin' Dots.
No, I know.
Like,
the idea
that's the scariest
of doing like having so much money and all the good drugs and being like, let's sit around on Twitter, like, what a nightmare.
Let's eat some painful ice cream.
These are like the apparent geniuses of our time. They're like, just go on Twitter on acid.
It just was a, you know, just send Anna Biller over there to just shoot this.
I know.
You know.
Also, just the breaking news of today, which again is a week ago for you, but it's important that you realize that this has all led to some unfollows between Elon and Grimes on Instagram.
Wait, they don't follow each other?
They unfollowed each other.
It's been confirmed.
Do you think that they did they break up?
Possibly.
That's what we're wanting. The cut posed the question, is this the end of Grimes and Elon? And you know what it should be? We were never about that union.
It was a summer romance. It was a summer nightmare.
I don't know that. I mean, I believe in giving people a lot of leeway for bad dating decisions.
No, this is so
one of my
bad.
Theories is that everyone dates badly, and I dare anyone to doubt that. And every person knows deep in their heart that they've dated badly at some point. But I almost feel like choosing to date Elon Musk is a thing you should never recover from.
100%.
No, she can't come back from that. Thank you, Azealia Banks, for bringing down the evil empire, at least. that was a good move. But that was the thing, too, is that
she's chaotic good
Elon
in this.
Yeah, Musk,
exactly. She's absolutely chaotic,
she's chaotic good.
Yeah.
Elon Musk's thing, you know, his, like, rep denied it, and then he, like, confirmed it, which is also, like, why are you trying to make her look like a crazy liar?
Yeah, I know. Also, the qualifier of, like, I had just finished working out. See, look, I'm not doing acid and eating Dippin' Dots.
That's
I'm working
I'm
out and running
it's like,
a company.
Look at what a nut job this person is that people are projecting like authority and genius onto. And like,
but this is the thing I love about this story on a deeper level. Maybe it's not even deeper. It's just the level of the story is that this is so entirely within the ethos of Silicon Valley. Like this idea that like people imbue these like basic dudes with like some kind of power and authority because they have this money.
Yeah.
But then when you see their daily inner work. Workings,
well, his money also, as Azealia Banks pointed out, his money all comes from like apartheid diamonds.
Yeah.
Like that's why he's a rich person who was able to start a company
he
in the first place.
He spun his bootstrap story, but it's very it's
no,
very
he's like from an like because I was doing jokes a while ago about how his dad was John Huston in Chinatown. And then I saw a picture of his dad and his dad looks just like John Huston in Chinatown and then married his stepdaughter, which was what he and Elon Musk fell out over.
What?
Was because Elon Musk was like, my dad and I don't talk. He did something very bad. He knows what it is. And then it came out that it was like he married one of his stepchildren.
Cool.
So,
wow.
Super cool
it's
family.
Nothing. See, the problem with 2018 is nothing can stay funny.
I know.
And everything
I'm
has
sorry.
To get dark within 30 seconds.
That's my
That's
power,
just the reality of
I
this
think.
Moment. So, in this one, people are like, people are defenders of Azealia Banks in this one, right?
Yeah, because she was broken.
This is like a really big step towards her public rehabilitation as far
well,
as.
Well, based
like her-
on. Based on her social interactions over the past few years, I would not invite her over for a weekend because she just sounds like she gets drunk and super angry. But I'm like really happy that she's been vindicated. Also because everyone always calls her a liar. Like
she was telling like a twisted fairy tale.
Yeah.
Like I'm in this mansion with these crazy people and I'm realizing that this collaboration is like not a thing I'm trying to do.
Yep.
It was really good content.
We'll check back
it's good content.
On
That's
this
true.
Story because it's
yeah,
far from
I love
over,
this show.
I'm sure.
Well, that does it for this week's Night Call. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you want to give us a call at 1-240-46-NIGHT, you should do that. Tell us, weigh in on the Ouija board question. It's the great moral debate of our time, apparently.
Yeah, you guys know I'm right in your hearts.
I know.
And thank you so much to Carvel for being here too.
Thank you so much. So great.
Thanks, Carvel, for coming on.
Yeah.
And listen to Carvel on Closer Than They Appear, and check him out in the New York Times Magazine.
And Mom and Dad Are Fighting.
And Mom and Dad Are Fighting.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys next week and at our live show.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.